Good morning, Lynn, and good morning to everyone else. And it's exciting to be here, as well as a little nervous, being that this is my first time of doing this. So if I stumble and stutter, be patient. So right now is the time when we start the service, and everybody will, as soon as I start playing the song, our opening song, then you can greet each other. Good morning, everybody, again. And we'll start off with our statement of purpose of awakening together. We are an assembly of equals, joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Have several. Thank you, Barb, for putting the link in the room for our purpose and values. And now we have several announcements. The first one is the Spirit-led Capital Campaign. On November 11th, Regina sent out a kickoff email for our Spirit-led Capital Campaign. This is a fundraising campaign to raise money for purchase of property for a retreat center. For those of you who don't know the background of this, I'll fill in some of the details. In September, while in Santa Barbara at a retreat, Regina received guidance to create an Awakening Together retreat center in the Pueblo, Colorado area. It will be a place to hold retreats, and it will also be a place where we will create an environment to help one another get in touch with and realize inner guidance and inspiration. Of course, laughter, music, meditation, and contemplation will happen there also. There are many ways to donate, and you can find those along with more background information about this exciting step that we are taking. Just go to the Donate tab on the AT website or follow the link shown by Barb for the Donate Retreat Center. When you get to the Donate tab on the AT website, click on Spirit-led Capital Campaign. As you click through the menu items, you will find opportunities to join in this vision. There is also a link where Regina will be posting potential properties for sale in the area. These properties are to give you an idea of what is available in the Pueblo area. Be sure to check out the very last menu item, How Else Can I Help? Maybe you are not in a position to make a donation at this time, but you want to support the process. There are suggestions for doing just that, helping by staying open and surrendered. Trust and be willing to see what unfolds. The next announcement is on the Baja Mexico retreat from March 1st through the 7th, 2015. This will be a wonderful opportunity to spend a week with some of your favorite course teachers and authors at a luxury resort in Laredo, Baja, Mexico. Jennifer Hadley has invited Regina Don Akers, John Mundy, Maria Felipe, and David Hoffmeister to join with her for a week filled with deep healing, relaxation, and fun. This is also an opportunity to bring along your family and enjoy a break from winter weather. If you are able and interested in attending, please go to the Awakening Together's website and find the link under Events, also shown on the screen by Barb. By doing this, we get credit, and Awakening Together will earn money from each registration. Last announcement is the Sunday Satsang. Our guest for the November Awakening Together Satsang is Nikki Dobson. I recently met Nikki at the Santa Barbara retreat, and I can tell you that she is just an amazing person. Please join us tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Jacqueline Eckhart will be the host for that satsang. So now I will play our opening song, The Train Song by Kirtana.
Just because the tracks are laid, or just because your ticket's paid for, and some crazed conductor keeps on calling out your name, you don't need to board the train. You don't need to board train. Trains of thought will come and go, but you are not your thoughts, you know. So why get all caught up in where they lead? You are who these thoughts are passing through. Don't you see? You are who these thoughts are passing through. Be free. Be free. Even when you're feeling frightened, sad or hurt, or unenlightened, you can find a peace that underlies what passes by. Don't mistake the weather or the sky of your being. Why mistake the weather for the sky? Feelings rise then fall away, even those you wish would stay. So why equate your sense of self with mood? You are who emotion passes through. Don't you see? You are who emotion passes through. Be free. Be free. What a blessing.
What a blessing.
Taking birth in this human form with the chance to see that who we are was really never born, could never die. Always free. If destiny decides to strike some version of the script you like, and make a melodrama of your endless cabaret, you know you can still enjoy the play. Yes, you can, if you're still know how to play. Just treat it like a mystery and view it from the balcony. Laugh and cry and stomp your feet, but don't believe the thing. You are who these seams are passing through. Don't you see?
You are who this play is passing.
Be free. Be free. Be free. Be free.
It's now time for our invocation prayer moment of silence. So please join me in a moment of silence, which I will close with Amen. Amen. It's now time for our inspirational reading, and today the reading will be done by my wife, Becky.
Good morning. I'm reading today from Listening to Your Inner Guide by John Munday, and I'm in Chapter 5, Blocking Guidance. What do you do about being crazy? Obviously, it's crazy to continue to be crazy, but we're addicted to craziness. We are obsessed by our guilt, and we want to hold tenaciously to it. It is impossible to escape from illusions unless we are willing to look at them. We cannot begin to give up an addiction until we are willing to admit we are the addicts. We cannot escape from our illusions unless we look at them. So we stay dumb, stupid, and insane as long as we think there is no escape from insanity. As long as we believe that this world and all its accoutrements, the paraphernalia, the fluff and baubles, the soap opera of everyday life, are what constitutes reality. As long as we are unwilling to look at the truth, insanity remains. Mulla Narsordan was down on his hands and knees looking for something in front of his house. His neighbor came by and said, "Mulla, what are you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking for my keys." So the neighbor got down on the ground and began looking with him. After searching for half an hour, the neighbor finally said, "Mulla, where did you lose your keys?" "Well, I lost them in the house," said Mulla, "but there is more light out here." We cannot find what we're looking for if we are looking in the wrong place and continue to provide some crazy justification for looking for an answer where it is not. With anything this world has to offer, we are left wanting. Even when we get what we've been longing for, we soon discover that it does not bring us peace. I was watching Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous with Robin Leach. He was interviewing a man who was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He literally could buy anything he wanted. He had worked hard to get what he had and was now in his late 60s. Now all he could do was talk about how afraid he was going to die. In order to get out of our insanity, we have to give up addiction to insanity. We have to give up the thought that if we have to be an addict, that we must live in a soap opera and relinquish the illusion that there is no way out. There is a way out. Our inner guide knows the way and can show us where it is. On our own, we do not know the way. We need help. 12-step programs work because of the willingness of the participant to say, "I don't know what to do. Help me." Fortunately, we don't have to do things on our own. Fortunately, there is a guide inside us that knows how to choose for sanity. The good news is that no matter how insane we may be, God's will for us in heaven, God's will for us is heaven, and nothing can keep us from it. Our wildest misperceptions, our weird imaginings, and our blackest nightmares all mean nothing. We are all insane because we think we see something outside of ourselves while all we are seeing is a projection of our own fantasy. We are making it up. We forget we made it up and think we're seeing something independent of us. Nothing is out there. We see the world that we made, but we do not see that we are the ones who created it. In our questioning of illusions, we should ask ourselves if it is sane to perceive what was as if it were now. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. And now I will go into my talk. My inner navigation system has two distinct voices, one that is crazy and the other that is calm. They've been there most of my life. One of them has been there all of my life. The other one started developing early on. Both speak up as I navigate my life, but one voice has been louder and louder and louder. Can you guess which one? Yeah, the crazy one. The one that I have been listening to most of my life. I have traveled many pathways in the 65 years of my life. Each time as I embarked on a new path, a new life adventure, I would enter as the destination in my GPS, peace, love, and happiness. Each time after selecting the start navigation button, I would hear this message from the crazy GPS. "Go forward in this direction. Stay the course that I have plotted out for you, and you will find peace, love, and happiness." So off I'd go, happily knowing that I was on my way to peace, love, and happiness. Occasionally along the way, I would ask the question that every parent hears from their kids, are we there yet? And I would get the same answer. Hold on, it's just around the corner, just a bit further, and you'll be there. So I would keep on moving forward until I would hear, your destination is ahead on the left. Wow, I had arrived. How smart of me to listen to my crazy GPS. But when I looked around, there wasn't any peace, love, or happiness. I had the right car. I had the right house. I had the right wife. I had the right kids. I had everything that my crazy GPS said I would need to have peace, love, and happiness. But all I could see was an empty lot containing overgrown weeds with stickers and thorns. There must be a mistake, I would say to my crazy GPS. Where is peace, love, and happiness? The crazy GPS would answer, it's your fault. You didn't drive fast enough. You didn't slow down. And you allowed that other person to turn in front of you when I told you to cut them off. That was the problem. I didn't listen, and I didn't drive very well. So I just needed to start all over again. All I needed to do was put in the destination of peace, love, and happiness and follow the instructions this time. Now, what I realized is when, and growing up at about age 9, all of a sudden I became aware of the crazy GPS. Prior to that, I was just a happy-go-lucky kid that when I joined Cub Scouts and they gave us cans of candy to sell, I went to every house in the neighborhood with a big smile and asked, would you like to buy some Cub Scout candy? And I sold a case. When it came time to doing the badge and all the arrows, I did the badge the fastest of anybody else. I had 4 arrows below it, which was unheard of. When I turned 9 and the candy came again, I all of a sudden became self-aware of my lack of confidence. And I couldn't sell a single can. I barely made my badge. And at that point, when I look back on that now, is when, thank you, Kathy. Fortunately, they're a little stale now. But in that time, when I look back on what happened, why did I start listening to the crazy one and all of its statements of insecurity? Well, I realized that was when I started being told that I was not enough. That the first time you're told that you're bad, the saying that you're not good enough. And as a child, you don't hear that as, or I didn't hear that as, you just made a mistake. Please do it differently. I took it as, I must be bad. I am guilty. I should be ashamed of myself. And as time went on, I kept getting reassurances that that must be the course. That must be the reason. So, as we know, our internal crazy GPS remembers all those things because they know what we think is the truth about us. So now back to the story. In the background, during the pauses, of the loud GPS messages, my calm GPS voice has been consistently saying, you are at your destination. I've heard it, but it was so quiet that it was hard to hear, and even harder to believe. Plus, if it seemed that when I was starting to pay attention to the calm GPS message, my crazy GPS voice got even louder. It would tell me things like, are you nuts? Does this vacant lot, this thorny overgrown plot of ground, look like peace, love, and happiness to you? Don't listen to that simple-minded GPS. It doesn't know that those other cars sped in front of you and cut you off from making that last turn. It's their fault that you haven't found peace, love, and happiness. They took your prime parking spot at peace, love, and happiness. That's why we didn't get there yet. Now, let's get going. And make sure you remember that it's both your fault and it's not your fault. It's a dangerous world out there. So listen to me. I'll get you there. So once again, I put in that destination, and this time, I promise, if all goes as planned, and you listen carefully and drive perfectly and pay close attention, you will get to peace, love, and happiness. Guaranteed. So I never challenged and always trusted my crazy GPS. I continued to set off one more time to find peace, love, and happiness. Now, what is that quote? Oh yeah, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. But when you only know one thing, you just keep doing it. About 3 years ago, my wife discovered the recordings of Regina by following a series of internet links. She encouraged me to listen to the recordings with her, but my crazy GPS voice immediately told me that this woman was a nut. She giggles all the time while talking about the Holy Spirit and somebody by the name of Ramana Maharshi, an Indian guru of all people. Yuck. Don't listen to her. You'll not find peace, love, and happiness by listening to her. But the calm GPS began to speak a little louder and said, listen. Nothing else. Just listen. As I heard the calm GPS message, I remembered that I had listened to it several years earlier when I had first met my wife. At that time, the GPS screamed at me, run for your life. Run away from this new woman as fast as you can. But the calm GPS message was, trust and believe. The message was so strong and clear that I decided to follow it. And a year later, much to the chagrin of my crazy GPS, we were married. Reluctantly, I began to listen to Regina's recordings, and over time, I have grown to love her self-honesty and her personal stories about learning to trust and believe her calm GPS. Fortunately for me, my calm GPS did not tell me to quit my job and move to North Carolina like hers had. It only asked me to trust and believe and listen. And I did. Slowly and steadily, I listened and noticed and began to change internally, which translated into external changes. In describing these changes to Rebecca, I commented that it felt like I was receiving upgrades for my personal operating system that were based on the releasing of so many of my long-held beliefs. A year ago, Regina announced that Awakening Together was going to start a ministerial preparation program. Immediately, the crazy GPS voice cried out, "Don't do it! You don't want to be a minister. They have to give sermons, talks on Sunday mornings. Yuck! And you definitely do not want to do that. Besides, you aren't a course student." But once again, the calm GPS voice showed up in the silence and said, "Trust and believe." Now, there are times when I wish that voice would be more definite, but that is not the way it works. So I have to just listen, and trust and believe. To my relief, when I received the information on the Ministerial Preparation Program, also known as the MPP, that it said that Awakening Together minister did not have to give Sunday sermons. Woo, what a relief. They were only required to be supportive of AT and its members. So I said yes. Following the calm GPS voice can, at times, be scary because it asks only that I trust and believe and embrace the fool's path. As my GPS calls it, well, if any of you are familiar with the tarot cards, the first key card is the fool, who has his knapsack, his little sack on the end of a stick, and is ready to walk off a cliff, trusting and believing. Well, my calm GPS, I think as most people, just gives one-word answers, no additional information that might help calm the fears and anxiety that seem to pop up. Well, both Rebecca and I submitted our applications to become ordained ministers. However, because we had no ministerial background and we were not course students, we had to have an interview with Regina to determine if our spiritual commitments were strong enough to make it through the program. We pulled into the parking lot on a Thursday morning at the Senior Center where we quilt with a group of friends when the call from Regina came through. I parked the car while holding Rebecca's hand. We had our interviews. When we were told that we were both accepted into the program, I knew that another grand adventure was about to begin, because my crazy GPS voice started screaming and crying and asking, "What have you done now, you fool?" This time, however, because of the updates and upgrades to my personal operating system, I was able to turn down the volume of one GPS voice, that crazy one, and turn up the volume on the other, the calm one. I knew within my heart that I was finally on the true path to peace, love, and happiness. So, as we started the MPP classes, I began to see that the beliefs that I had been holding on to and the messages I had been getting from the crazy GPS voice were totally false. As these false beliefs began to disappear, a new version of my operating system would download. I could no longer navigate the world in the same way I had in the past. Sometimes these downloads came one right after another, and sometimes there was a gap of time between them. I never knew when one would show up or what it would affect within me. Sometimes the change would take place very quickly, and it didn't really affect how I showed up in the world. But if the update was related to something major, like the I am bad thought, then it would take me a while to reorient myself. You might think that this is the end of the story, but it is not. That pesky calm GPS had other plans for me. After Regina announced her vision for the retreat center, committees started forming, but no one volunteered for the dreaded fundraising committee. So can you guess what happens next? Regina asked me not only to be on the committee, but to chair it. So here we go again with the crazy GPS voice going nuts. But this time there was no sound from the calm GPS. So I did something new and asked, what should I do? The answer came back, grow. So I responded yes to Regina, thinking that was the end. Well, no. 2 weeks later, Regina sent out another email asking all the licensed ministers, those are members of the Member Board of Trustees who are also in the MPP program, if we could fill in as substitute ministers starting in November. Do you remember my caveat about how I didn't want to do Sunday morning sermons? Can you guess what I heard from my comm GPS? You got it. Grow. So here I am again, doing what I said I didn't want to do. One of my favorite sayings is, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Well, do you hear all that hysterical laughing? Yeah, he must be reading my latest 5-year plan. I believe that each of us has a crazy GPS and a calm GPS. The crazy one tells us, don't trust anyone and never, ever believe the calm GPS. The calm GPS only asks that we trust, believe, listen, and grow. The only question is, which one will each of us listen to when you hear, run? And with that, it's now time for our open meditation, contemplation by all. I will play a song at this time for background music. This one is Water by Daniel Namad.
I've seen my share of struggle when I thought that I knew best. When I've sailed through a storm instead of stopping to rest. And it always seems the hardest when I've made up my stubborn mind. Well, I'm changing my ways this time. Wanna be like water coming down a mountain into shadowy canyons, flowing from pool to stream. Wanna be like water, head uphill no more. I am bound for the sea. Have you ever seen an eagle head straight into the wind? He doesn't pick a fight, he spreads his wings and just gives in. And in the end he always makes it home just fine. I guess he knows that every storm subsides. Wanna be like water coming down the mountain in the shadowy canyons, flowing from pool to stream. Wanna be like water, head uphill no more. I am bound for the sea. I'll let nature take its course. No more thinking that I know where this river's meant to go. I have railed against the stars for the cards that I've been dealt, for the lottery I've never won, for the heartache that I've felt. But it only seems when I let go expectation and regret, life has plenty of surprises for me, yeah. I wanna be like water coming down a mountain in the shadowy canyons, flowing from pool to stream. I wanna be like water, head uphill no more. I am bound for the sea. Wanna be like water coming down a mountain in the shadowy canyons, flowing from pool to stream. Wanna be like water, head uphill no more. I am bound for the sea.
Well, thank you everybody for all of your kind comments. I see that Barb did put in the notes about making donations to Awakening Together. We are totally supported by your donations. So please consider making a donation both to Awakening Together and to the new Retreat Center Spirit-Led Capital Campaign. So now I will open the floor up to anybody who would like to comment on my talk. Would anybody also like to comment on my my talk and Rebecca's reading? If so, raise your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. Okay, Lynn, the mic is yours.
All right, first off, I'd like to say, and probably for all of us, Doug posted it, brilliant sharing. Wonderful. What a wonderful talk. And boy, I know you a lot better now. I'm so grateful for that. It's just is a wonderful thing to have you part of our community, and I'm so grateful for both you and Becky. You guys are awesome. and you know, speaking of the following of the guidance, the GPS, right? I know that there's a lot of people that are looking at the idea of this retreat center and thinking, you know, what is it? What do you need that for? What are we going to do with it? And I know people have asked, well, you know, do you all just follow Regina's guidance without any thought? just because it's Regina's guidance? To me, it has nothing to do with Regina's guidance. To me, it's my guidance to be a support to making this community, this Awakening Together community, a wonderful place for everyone who wants to be here. And part of having a retreat center, you know, if you think about it, that's a place for me and you to go to replenish our spiritual batteries, to listen to our own guidance, our own Holy Spirit. So to me, it's a no-brainer. You know, when I heard Retreat Center, I was like, boom, onto that, and not even thinking about whose guidance it is or not. It's my guidance to make that happen. As far as the GPS guidance thing, it's the same thing with me. You know, Regina's guidance to come to Pueblo, Dove will tell you, Regina might tell you, I definitely will tell you, the purpose of Regina coming to Pueblo was for me, because I lived here. And I would never have been doing this, what I'm doing right now, if it hadn't been for her deciding to follow her guidance and come here. So, all the little GPS turns will be taken care of, yes. And listening and being more likely to listen to that calm GPS and just do whatever is being asked of you. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't just tell you what to do. He will do it for you. He will do it for you. And that's something that Kathy was reading earlier also, an article about a gentleman who came to an awakening and realized that he didn't have to do anything. All he had to do was just listen and follow. And everything was done for him and through him. So this GPS business, this listening to God's positioning system or not, is really essential and important message. And so thank you again for the great message and the great music. And I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody else wants to share.
Thank you, Lynn. And what you're saying about the retreat center is so true. Being on the member board of trustees, we do a lot of talking about what this vision of hers was, and do we all agree that it is the right vision for Awakening Together, and are we on board with it? Does it fit with our guidance, with our feelings of rightness? And everyone has spoke up and said that they agree that this is where Awakening Together needs to go. And I'm excited. I love looking at the housing opportunities that she puts on the list. And in each one, I look at it and go, wow, what are the attributes of this one that would make an Awakening Together retreat center so special? Some of them have barns and stables were set up for horses. Others have beautiful scenery, and others have the great trees and bushes that you could go out and walk amongst on your contemplation. One even had a labyrinth that could be used for walking while you were doing your contemplation. One of the plans for this retreat center is to have areas of for just silence that are always set aside to be silent, so that when you need silence, you can go to that area and know that you won't be disturbed. There will be other areas that are always open for people to talk, to maybe get some guidance. And we can have classes there. We can do our own little weekend retreats and always know that it will be available to us. And it is up to us as to the energy that we put into it, the peace, the calm, if we just, as I said, trust, believe, listen, and are willing to grow. Is there anybody else that would like to take the mic and tell everybody what they have as their ideas on today's talk? Just put your hand up and I will pass the mic over to you. Okay, well, I will, oh, Dove, I see your hand up. I'll turn the mic over to you.
All right, wow, that was really such a beautifully divinely inspired sharing that I know that everyone here was empowered. I know I was by the way that you were just willing to realize that you did have two different voices, and we all have the same two different voices, and we are all led actually perfectly. Everything about your morning service here, from the song that you played, I'm in the right place at the right time. I was posting an announcement on Open Minds that you're going to be on at 10:15, and as I was posting it, you were playing the song, I'm in the right place at the right time, and then it says, my soul is always welcoming. I said, wow, you can't make those words up, you know, they were just so perfect. And I think the way that you shared how your path has led you to this place of growth. Every time you use the word grow, I was using the same word every time you use the word grow. I was saying grow. I do share with a lot of people out on Facebook, and grow is really exactly what we're here for. To grow is to awaken, to let go of the dream of I'm weak, I'm needy, I don't have, I lack, to I already have everything. I already have everything, and the way that you share it is you just shared it so beautifully. Thank you so much, both Ken and Becca. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dove.
Thank you, Dove. My dad used to call me Becca. So that gives me tears. Thanks.
Well, thank you for your kind words, Dove. It was something that just seemed to come naturally. I woke up one morning and about 4 o'clock and came out to the living room and sat down and came up with a whole talk. And I realized that it was not coming from my thinking, but it was coming from my heart. All right, Lynn, I see your hand up, so I will release the mic to you.
Well, this was just a beautiful, beautiful morning. Everything was perfect. The music and hearing your voice and remembering you and Becca from Santa Barbara, and the music you played, everything was just so perfect and so sweet. I just wanted to share with you that I do have another path that I follow. I have a spiritual teacher who's from India, and we also started about 25 years ago buying property, buying a house up in Kinderhook, New York. And I think they have like a couple of acres, like 2 or 3 acres. And then they added on to the house. And so that became the first one. And then they bought property. This was all on donations. And it's not like it was a rich organization, but I guess there are always those people who can afford to do that. And they bought 380 acres in Oregon. And there they have multiple buildings, many, many buildings. And we've had courses, and the teacher came to visit. And he comes periodically every couple of years. And then recently in the last 12 years or so, we built a retreat in Live Oak, Florida, upstate Florida, right below Valdosta, Georgia. And that's great. It's really great for me because although I visited the other two, I'm able to get to the Florida one, obviously, more often. So we do have retreats and we have courses, potlucks, holiday get-togethers, birthday celebrations for the spiritual teachers, their anniversaries. And it's just, it's fabulous. It really is fabulous. And they're all in beautiful, beautiful, exquisite locations. The one in Oregon is near the Umpqua, it overlooks the Umpqua River. And it's paradise. So yay to Regina. I was there in Santa Barbara when she came out and told us about this, and I said, wow, that's great. I always feel like I'm always at the beginning of things. I've been through other organizations where we start things, and to see it come to fruition, I'm looking forward to it, and I know it will be, and it'll be fabulous. Okay, dropping the mic. Thank you. Thank you for a beautiful morning.
Well, thank you, Lynn. Somebody was asking who your teacher is, the one that started all of these centers. So thanks again to everybody for all of your kind comments. And I see that the other Lynn also wants to take the mic back. So I will release the mic to you, Lynn.
Lest this discussion turn only to the idea of the retreat center, which it does seem to be the direction that we're going in, something that really changed my thought about what, because I've been looking at them with Regina since, you know, we're in the same area, but what really kind of changed something for me, I had been getting the direction from the first beginning to have places where people could have a little private place. Like I was thinking tiny houses. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the tiny house. Regina had not heard of the tiny house, so I had to show them to her. But to have a place where we could have tiny houses for people to stay in, and the, you know, that we could modify those in some way so they could be more like little bunk houses, but then also to have a little one with that actually little ones that people could actually stay in for a period of time for personal retreats. And I, you know, I was thinking about, and I've been thinking that this whole time, and then Wednesday when Regina was teaching, she started talking about having gotten some direction that it would be a place where people could come to have personal time off, personal retreats for their own awakening. Not necessarily that we'd have to have group events going on all the time. And when she said that, I was like, oh, there's my tiny houses. Because when I was listening to Tess Hughes, who was one of our satsang guests, and she was talking about this. This is something that TAT Foundation does, is they have places where people go and do personal retreats, and this is when people become awakened, is during these personal retreats. And so I just thought, you know, isn't that funny how this thing comes together now? Now I see my vision for the tiny houses being real because it would be a useful thing in this vision of a retreat center. So, you know, even if it comes to you and it seems like, you know, maybe I'm just being, because I like tiny houses, maybe I'm just having a personal bias toward it, but then really having no investment in it other than to say, you know, I'm open for the idea, then when the idea comes, it makes sense and it works. But, you know, if it was just me saying, oh, I think we need to get a place and put up tiny houses because I like a tiny house, then what would be the purpose of that? What would be the purpose of that? So again, Holy Spirit works us toward His purpose, or being actually in accordance, in agreement with His purpose through that GPS as well. So, because that really is what the Holy Spirit is. It's our guidance factor right there. So, anyway, back to you, Ken. Oh, and also, I'm sorry, don't forget to join me at 11:30 for our fellowship hour. Now back to you, Ken.
Thank you, Lynn. Becky has been watching the tiny houses for quite a while. So that is something that we talk about. And one of the retreat centers that we looked at, just as reference of what other retreat centers were like, was one down in Arizona outside of Phoenix. And when I looked at it, the entire area was the main house where the owner of the retreat center lived, and then three little log cabins. And that was all for personal retreats. And I looked at that and said, wow, that was really a good idea for personal retreats of how to do it. Just these tiny little cabins that were self-contained, and you were responsible for everything. You packed all of your food and your gear in, and you packed it all out when you were done. So get the idea on the tiny houses. The other part of what going along with my story, and it's kind of an encouragement to everybody, that if you have any kind of guidance towards taking the MPP, I would really encourage you. For me, it was it's been amazing, and it truly has been an act of trusting and believing, because the first class you take is called True Discernment. Well, I had an idea of what true discernment meant, but in going through that class, I realized I didn't have a clue as to what it meant. But in going through it each week, as I was able to gain true discernment of what was truth, what was false within me. And as we kept digging deeper and deeper into my beliefs and realizing that every time I would look at a belief and ask the question, is that true? Taken from Byron Katie, I would realize that it wasn't. And when I started scanning back as to what that belief was based on, I realized that it was a belief based on a prior belief that was based on a prior belief back to the first time I had heard it from somebody else. Like the I am bad. Well, that was based on hearing it from my mother telling me that I was bad one time, and I took it as fact. And in going through the class, you realize that what you are taking as a truth was only a feeling. It wasn't actually truth. And at that point, it became much, much easier to look at my beliefs and see that, as so many people have said, a belief is be lied. Right in the center of that word is the word lie or falsehood. So, again, really consider the MPP classes. They are amazing, and they do not... Oh, MPP stands for Minister Preparation Program. And it's a set of courses that Regina created covering a number of world religions. And it is amazing. We're, the class I'm in right now is going through Buddhism. And once again, wow, did I not have a clue what it was to be a Buddhist. And you pick up little things from each of them that you can then add to your understandings of how to release all of your beliefs one by one, or as groups, as Regina calls it. Do you want to take off the twigs, the branch, or saw the tree off at the base? The classes are giving me the tools to do that. You start with the twigs, but you very quickly will get into the branches. So I have time for one more person. If anybody else would like to speak, please raise your hand. All right, Dove, back to you.
Yeah, actually, it's amazing that the conversation not only went from the retreat center but to the MPP program. I think in your sharing here earlier, I wasn't really aware of the preparation that goes into actually accepting you into the MPP program. I really wasn't aware that it was on a personal interview to see if what your purpose was in alignment with the purpose of the MPP program, because that is so important to actually discern what one's purpose is in taking it. That will make all the difference in the world. Will they complete it and actually have the use of the abundance of being ordained as a ministerial candidate and becoming a minister, a teacher of God, or will they misuse it simply because their original goals and purpose were not in alignment with the purpose of the program? So thank you so much for making that clear, that Regina actually does do an interview to actually find where your heart is, and I think that's what makes this program even more powerful than just signing up for, you know, like we're so used to going to a college or university where once they accept us, they really don't really care that much, you know, what we do, as long as we get good grades. But you know, this has to be in alignment that we share and join in the same purpose. Purpose is really meaning. Thank you so much, Ken. Okay, back to you.
Well, thank you, Dove. For everybody, you don't have to sign up to become a ordained minister to take the MPP classes. They are open to everybody. But anybody that does sign up and is accepted into the ministerial, the ordination, will get preference over those who do not. So with that, I will now play our closing song. As soon as we get the cables reset. So this song is Wonderful World by Iz.
white and the brightness of thee. I like the dark and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people passing by. See friends shaking hands, singing, how do you do? They really say, I love you.
Thank you, everybody, for your kind words and wonderful support on my first Sunday here as the speaker. I may just try doing it again. Thank you. Releasing the mic back to you, Lynn.